The political equivalent of 9/11, former acting director of the CIA Mike Morrell. An act of war, Republican Senator John McCain. Subversion of an election by a foreign power, New York Times columnist Paul Krugman. Drilling down into vacuity. Forget left and right. What do the media consider priorities? Precious resources are wasted drilling down on the most idiotic issues in hopes of producing a small nugget of bad news for Trump. How about this fascinating segment on a February 2018 Meet the Press with host Chuck Todd, drilling down on rumors that the White House chief of staff might have resigned? Todd, did General Kelly offer to resign or not? There's been a lot of confusion with our own reporting, with other reporting. There seems to be, did he unofficially offer to write the resignation letter, but just not officially hand it to him? In other news about what Trump or those around him might conceivably do in the future, dissected endlessly on cable TV, after the president criticized a Parkland, Florida sheriff's deputy for hiding outside during the February 2018 school shooting, MSNBC's Lawrence O'Donnell devoted nearly half his show to disputing Trump's claim that he would have run into the building. O'Donnell gave his own assessment, then invited a panel of guests to speculate on what Trump would have done. It was the closest thing to blank TV you will find in modern life. MSNBC should have run a test pattern. And here's everybody's favorite headline and chyron from CNN. Trump gets two scoops of ice cream. Everyone else gets one. America, we have to find them and kill their children. If you were to ask any normal person what his top concerns for the country are, the answers would be along the lines of jobs, schools, the drug epidemic, crime, immigration, i.e. all of the above, and so on. But our media go from station stop to station stop of irrelevancy. Imagine your typical day. You talk with your boss, meet a client, refinance your mortgage, go to lunch. In each situation, you begin with casual chit-chat about the weather, sports, that sort of thing. But eventually, you get to the point. With the media, we never get to the point. There's no, okay, this is why I'm here. Instead, it's just hours and hours of, it sure is windy today. Yes, and not only that, but it's windy down the street. I talked to my sister-in-law in Massachusetts, and it's windy up there, too. Here is Jake Tapper interviewing Trump aide Kellyanne Conway on CNN's State of the Union on Sunday, February 11th, 2018. Tapper, look of extreme gravitas. But I do want to ask you about White House Communications Director Hope Hicks, who apparently is dating Robert Porter. Porter's second wife, Jennifer Willoughby, said she is worried about Hope Hicks. Take a listen. Willoughby. It worries me for a lot of reasons. I mean, it definitely worries me because if I'm being frank with you, if he has not already been abusive with Hope, he will. End video clip. Tapper. Are you worried at all about Hope Hicks? Imagine you're at home in Des Moines, Iowa, watching this. Come on, honey, it's time to go to church. Just hang on one more second. The interview's almost over. I need to know if I should be worried about Rob Porter beating up Hope Hicks. That's the audience. Jake Tapper thinks we, the American public, should be in a state of wild suspense, wondering if someone we've never heard of will beat up Hope Hicks. When the interview is over a minute later, you know CNN producers were rushing up to Tapper, telling him, that was great. You turned it around. You showed empathy. This is why they pay you $10 million a year. At the height of their powers, Monty Python could not have done better. The one thing we might get out of Trump. An essential component of saving the country is absolutely destroying the press. Not a brick upon a brick should remain. Then it can be rebuilt on more ethical lines. The days when the media were entitled to a presumption of accuracy is long past, and they're getting worse all the time. Democracy dies in darkness. The left is confused about what fake news means. It does not mean saying sunset will be at 6:18 p.m. when it's actually at 6:23 p.m. It means reporting the diametric opposite of what is happening, sending people away with a false story so that they cannot function in a democracy. Fake news means reporting, for example, that Trump colluded with Russia to sway the election when it was the Democratic Party and the FBI that colluded with Russia to sway the election. Things have been trending this way for a while, but under Trump, the media's transformation into an enemy of democracy is complete. The problem is, journalists don't get out enough. Everyone in the media thinks exactly the same way. If you didn't know anyone who thought Trump would win, maybe you want to step back and reconsider your connection to reality. Some members of the resistance might even know, as an intellectual matter, that their best argument is to admit that Trump voters do have legitimate gripes about unfair trade deals, the opioid crisis, guest workers, crime, and mass immigration. But they can't do it. When journalists get together, they lose control and become a clique of mean girls dishing on the new girl at school. They have to call Trump the short-fingered vulgarian or construct absurd conspiracy theories about Russia. Try going to a burned-out company town in southern Ohio and saying that the biggest problem with Trump is that he's an Arabist. To the media, that is the ultimate anti-Trump argument. The country will be in very bad shape if Trump doesn't arise from his torpor and keep his campaign promises, but if we get nothing else from his presidency, at least the media will be totally discredited. He brings out the best in them. Trump may be shallow, narcissistic, disloyal, and the crudest kind of braggart, but he's like chemotherapy for the country. It's unpleasant to go through, you vomit, your hair falls out, but it kills cancer cells, and you live. Trump's presidency may be an unpleasant thing to go through, but everyone on the New York Times editorial board will die. And who knows? Maybe Trump will keep his promises and end up on Mount Rushmore, his granite hair impervious to the breeze. As he likes to say, we'll see. This is Ann Coulter. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Resistance is Futile, How the Trump-Hating Left Lost Its Collective Mind. Text copyright 2018 by Ann Coulter. Production copyright 2018, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.